The OSIRIS-REx mission is celebrating an anniversary. Last week marked 1 year since the spacecraft was launched. Its goal is to study the asteroid Bennu. Dante Loretta is principal investigator of the OSIRIS-REx mission. He's also a professor of planetary science and cosmochemistry at the University of Arizona, and he joins me. And Dante, what has OSIRIS-REx been up to in the years since it went up into space?
The OSIRIS-REx team has been very busy checking out the spacecraft. Basically, after you launch, you don't know what happened. It's a violent event. It gets shaken. It gets blasted with noise. And then it's in the outer space environment. So the first thing the team did was go through all the systems, make sure everything survived, and we had an operational vehicle. The good news is there was no effect that we could observe from the launch environment. And then we started learning how to fly. Basically, we turned on all of our instruments, we fired our rocket engines for a deep space maneuver, got our solar arrays on the sun and are generating power. So we're really trying to understand the details of the spacecraft and how it works in outer space.
I would imagine that before the launch, you kind of had a sense in your mind of how you would like for things to go in order for them to work well. How closely or not closely to that has it been so far?
I have to say the first year in space has been busier than we thought. It's more challenging, especially as we look ahead to the encounter with the asteroid and the immensity of that job dawns on us.
You have something coming up a little bit later this month. What is that all about?
So the spacecraft launched on an Earth return trajectory. So we actually spent the first year in space looping around the sun, and we're coming back to the Earth, and we're going to implement something called an Earth gravity assist. We're basically targeting a point about 17,000 kilometers over Antarctica. And when the spacecraft flies through that point, the Earth's gravity field will bend its trajectory. It's like a slingshot effect. And we need to do that because our target asteroid Bennu is on an orbit that's inclined higher than the Earth's orbit. So we need to make that change of 6 degrees, and the Earth's gravity is what allows us to do that.
Have you found that this mission in particular has been a useful tool as far as getting other people interested in space, in science, maybe in astronomy more specifically?
Absolutely. I'm really proud to be an alumni of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Metropolitan Phoenix. I've been sponsoring an educational program there for the past 2 years called the Extranaut Educational Program. And the kids have been following the mission. They were celebrating the launch when we went off on September 8th, 2016. And to celebrate the one-year launch anniversary, I came back to my hometown clubhouse here in Phoenix, and I gave them an update on the mission and encouraged them to continue to study.
It seems like in the early days of the space program, there was sort of this gee whiz factor, for lack of a better word, like, oh my goodness, we're going to put a man on the moon. We're going to put people in space. Do you find that the kinds of things that you're doing now still elicit that kind of response from people?
I do. The launch of OSIRIS-REx was an amazing moment for me personally. As you can imagine, I've been working on the program since 2004. But what really blew me away was the millions of people around the world who celebrated that event with us.
How do you try to take advantage of that interest? I mean, we've seen a lot of people were so excited about the eclipse a couple weeks back. The movie Hidden Figures got a lot of people really excited and interested in what NASA was doing. How do you try to capitalize on and get people interested and get people to the point where they can start doing some of this work? Because it's very complex, complicated work.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I really like to work with younger kids, to let them know that there's a lot of opportunity in this field. And it really requires people to believe, to have that creative spirit to make it happen. There's nothing technologically that's stopping us from going out and mining asteroids or colonizing the moon. It really is psychological. And if people can overcome that psychological barrier, then we will truly become an interplanetary species.
When you say that there's nothing stopping us from, for example, mining an asteroid, that it's mostly psychological, do you mean like right now or at some point down the road once we've figured out actually how to do it?
I think we're going to see asteroid mining in the next decade. I'm working with a company called Planetary Resources that is based up in Redmond, Washington, and they are getting a lot of momentum behind them to get some prospecting spacecraft out into the solar system. And they have a business case that closes. If they can get the technological hurdles overcome, then they will in fact be able to mine rocket fuel out of asteroids and then use that to service satellites and explore the solar system.
What do you make of ideas that we've been hearing for several years now, things about colonizing the moon, putting people on Mars or building a city on Mars, something like that? Are those realistic goals or are those kind of, pardon the pun, pie in the sky kind of things?
We can do all of those things. We can definitely colonize the moon. We can get people on Mars. Just look at a company like SpaceX. When Elon Musk said he was going to develop reusable rockets, everybody thought he was a crazy internet billionaire and he was wasting his money. And it was because he had the will and he had the financial resources, and he was able to make that happen.
When it comes to those resources, though, do you expect that more and more going forward, they're going to be from private companies as opposed to the government?
I absolutely think so. I think NASA's role and other space agencies, they're there to pathfind the technology and to really do the stuff that doesn't make economic sense up front. But something like launching a satellite into orbit around the Earth, we should be out of that business as a government. That's definitely something the private sector is completely capable of doing. And it won't be too much longer before we see private companies landing on the moon. And then the real trick is to figure out, okay, how do you get the return on your investment from doing that? And I think we'll figure that out.
Well, I guess other than sort of the financial resources aspect of it, in your mind, what are the pros and cons of having space and space exploration now more of a private endeavor than a public one?
Well, I think as soon as you figure out how something benefits the economy, the potential is unlimited. We saw this with the internet, right? The internet was around for a couple of decades until the early 2000s, where people really said, hey, this can make money. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants in on it. And it's that psychology. And I'm excited about it because I've always said, as a scientist, if people get into outer space and figure out how to profit from it, science is going to go along for the ride. We're going to get all those asteroid samples. We're going to get all those lunar samples. We're going to unravel the history of our solar system. And people are going to be excited about it.
Dante Loretta is a professor at the University of Arizona of Planetary Science and Cosmochemistry. He's also the principal investigator of the OSIRIS-REx mission, which recently celebrated the one-year anniversary of being launched. Dante, thanks a lot for coming in.
It was really a pleasure. Thanks for having me.